I guess Paige has us on cue here. Welcome. All right, we will begin here this morning. Last week, we began a short Christmas series, and Tim introduced this term, mere Christmas, and it was a play on words that C.S. Lewis wrote this book entitled Mere Christianity, and so he thought, well, this would be a neat little play on words to call this Mere Christmas. What are the essentials? What is the simple Christmas about? And I can't help it. I just can't say it that way. I have to say Mere Christmasanity. It just makes more sense to me. So it's Mere Christmas. It's Mere Christmasanity. This is our series. But this little series, or this little message, rather, kind of came together a little bit like the prophets would hear from God. You know, you read in the minor prophets, okay, in the month of this, on the day of this, the word of the Lord came to me. And it was a little bit like that, a little bit at a time, you know, and it wasn't every day for a week, it just, the word of the Lord came. And so on Monday, for some reason, I started thinking about the shepherds out in the pasture, and this angel shows up. And I thought, why did God show himself to the shepherds? Why did he send the angels to the shepherds? Why didn't he send them to the priests? Why didn't he send them to the scribes? Why didn't he send them to the people? In the end, he sent the angel to the shepherds. And I just mused over that a little bit on Monday, and then I started thinking about, well, who else? Who else did God reveal the identity of this baby to? And it was people like Simeon, and then I thought about Anna, and then I thought about the Magi, and then I thought about Mary and Joseph and so forth. And the real clincher for me was on Friday when I read this in Isaiah 53. It's just my regular reading. And verse 1 says this, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm?" And I thought, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. I would like us this morning to look at the heart of people that God can speak to, because he's shown that he already has done it at least once. So if you'd pray with me, we'll look into it. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. That's that promise. That's the promise that we just sang about. So you would give us your Holy Spirit. You'd actually come to live inside of us. John says that he will teach us. Jesus, you said that that one of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He'll teach you. We have a lot to learn. And now we ask you this morning that you teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first group that we want to look at is indeed the shepherds. And the account is written for us in Luke chapter 2. This is what it says. And so the first part of the chapter, chapter 2 in Luke, talks about the birth of Jesus. And so we pick it up in verse 8. "That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They heard, I don't know what they did with the flocks. I mean, some of them, you know, had fences out there. Maybe they just left them. They left them. They left the sheep. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So what was it about the shepherds that God decided he would send the angel there? You know, the first thing that comes to mind for me about the shepherds is they had no status. They had nothing to brag about. They would not think, an average shepherd would not be thinking, no, I'm pretty smart. The average shepherd would not be thinking, I dress really nice. The average shepherd would just think of himself as a worker. I'm just out here working, that's all. Unpretentious. And God showed up, and they were wowable. And this has been lost upon us, especially Americans. We can't be wowed anymore. We have it all. We've seen it all. It doesn't wow us anymore. What a sad, sad, sad thing. This reminds me of 1 Corinthians 1, where he says, consider your calling, brothers, that there are not many wise among us, according to this, in the flesh, not many wise. Not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the ones who want to fly away. God has chosen the weak things of the world, the shame, the strong. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the things that are wise, or they think they're wise, and the base things and the despised. God has chosen that he might set at naught the things that think they are something. And then he says this, that no man should boast before God. And I just think this is so instructive to me personally. It's so instructive to humanity. Why do we brag before one another when we won't be bragging in heaven? Christmasanity is about putting ourselves in a spot where we can be wowed, or we can think of ourselves, I'm just a common worker. God, I need your revelation. That kind of a heart, God is able, should he choose to, he is able to get through. Don't think of yourself too highly. Enjoy the teaching of Christmasanity. So then we have others. By the way, there's an alliteration again. If you want to go with this, they're all W's, and these guys were working. Or they were wowable. Pick your W. Then we want to look at a man named Simeon. And this is also recorded in Luke chapter 2. Not very much recorded about him, but this is what is said. 8 days later, after the birth, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel, even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him, he was able to speak to him, he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." So here's this man, not a whole lot we know about him. We know that he was a righteous man. And Habakkuk says that the righteous will live by faith. And this man was living by faith. That is, he was living in the present, but his mind was in the future. His mind was in what God had promised he was going to do. He was going to bring a Savior as part of this whole redemption story. He was going to bring a Savior to Israel, and his mind was there. Simeon was waiting. He was waiting. And mere Christmas anity is recharging our hearts to be in wait. Romans 8 says that we've been saved in hope, not in the present. We've been saved for a future. We've been saved for what is coming. Colossians says we're already seated there in the heavens. Get your mind up there. Philippians says that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait a Savior. And so Christmas anity is about hastening his return. Peter uses that term, hastening his return. It is about sharing this message in every way that we can, just like the shepherds did. Simeon was waiting. Another heart we want to look at this morning is Anna. And this is in the same chapter in Luke. Luke chapter 2. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. She was very old. Her husband died when she had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. So 84 is very old, by the way. Audrey, 84 is very old. Okay. Many birthdays. She had had many birthdays. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking to Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Anna was worshiping, and God was able to speak a message to her. That's a pretty easy one to understand, isn't it? God is able to speak when our determination, this wasn't just lollygagging around. She was intentionally pursuing the Lord, probably interceding for her people, but certainly also strictly worshiping the Lord. So the idea is we can think, I know everything about God. I don't need to meditate on it. I don't need to look into it anymore. I already know. I won't get you very far. God can't speak to you. You're too educated. Anna worshiped the Lord. She carved out time. For her, it happened to be all the time. But she carved out time to focus on God. Mere Christmasanity is about carving out some time to meditate on God, on His perfection, on His provision, on all that He is doing now and has promised that He will do. Maybe on the fact you're going to fly away. Where is that man? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe on that. I love it, Jay. I love it. We are going to fly away. And those who want to most will experience it best. So Anna was worshiping. The shepherds were working, just common blue-collar worker. Simeon was waiting. Anna was worshiping. And then we have another class of people that God was able to break through. And this one's kind of surprising. These were pagans. It was the Magi. We pick this up in Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." Yeah, right. And after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. This is a surprising one to me. Why was God able to reveal himself to some pagans when he was not able to, or did not choose to, whatever you want to say, to his own people? John 1 says he came to his own, and those who were his own just didn't receive him. And I don't know exactly why, but here's the deal. These guys were truth seekers. In their own mind, they were truth seekers. They had their astrological thoughts, proud of it. And God broke into their world, their way. "You want to worship the star? I'll give you a star." "Hey, what is that thing? Really? I mean, really, what is that thing?" And they were truth seekers enough that they became wanderers. Have a W. They were wandering. They were wandering. They wandered for a long time to get to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem. God is able to reveal himself to truth seekers, honest truth seekers. Truth is, most of the time, probably all the time, he has to bring us to even want to know the truth because we're too dull, we're too independent. But he breaks in. Whether you're a pagan or not. Isn't it amazing? This was real to them. And they didn't even know the Lord. Shames us sometimes. True, mere Christmasanity is about seeking the truth. About your life. About what God wants in your life. Somebody has mentioned this already, sort of a readjustment. Maybe it was in prayer, maybe it was in song. Here, just, or maybe it was in your message, Tim. Just readjust. Readjust. Bring your heart home. Bring it to truth-seeking. What is really truth? And of course, perhaps the major heart we would want to look at would be the heart of Mary. Shepherds were working, Simeon was waiting, Anna was worshiping, the Magi were wandering, but Mary has a special thing going on in her heart, and God is able to reveal himself to you. This is my great longing for us, that we would be of a heart that God can reveal himself to us every day, day by day, in various ways. I picked this up in Luke chapter 1, the account of Mary. Now in the sixth month, and this happens to be the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. We'll get into that in a bit. In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of a salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, this is the part we need to listen to. You got to listen to it all. But this is the point. Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary was willing. I don't know if she had thought about the consequences. This seems like a pretty quick little appointment. But she was willing. And that's a huge thing. You know, one of the things that attracted me to my wife is kind of a crazy willingness, just a wildness in faith. Sometimes it's been hard to manage, in my opinion, but it's been good. She can be so willing to do an idea that she does not think about the consequences of it. And I feel like, well, I got to manage this thing. This is what Mary was like. She was just willing, whatever the consequences. Recently, there was a movie in town called Midway, and I didn't get to go there, but I did review again a little bit the Midway history. Fascinating to me. And what is so sterling about this is that wave after wave after wave of planes went in to take out four Japanese cruisers. And we lost many men. And it was totally ineffective until the very end. But they were willing. These guys were willing. In World War II, men would lie about their age in order to get in. "I just want to be part of it." Mary was willing. Jim McCotter used to say 99% of knowing the will of God is being willing. If you have not obeyed what he has shown you so far, why should he tell you anything else? And I just feel this in my own life, in the area of evangelism. It keeps coming back to me, you know. I get a little discouraged. I hand out a lot of literature, and I hear nothing back. They feel like, "That's just not worth it. It's not happening." And then I get afraid. But if I stop, God might cut that off from me, and I would be just too dumb to ever do it. We must be willing. Mere Christmasanity is about renewing my heart. God, I'm willing, whatever you say. My prayer of salvation was, "God, I made a mess of my life. Please come in and take over. It is yours now." willing. That is mere Christmasanity. Well, Joseph was there as well, and well, he wasn't there when the angel was there. But we want to look at Joseph's heart also. The shepherds were working. Simeon was waiting. Anna was worshiping. The Magi were wandering. Mary was willing. And Joseph had a quality about him that I think we can study and learn from also. And this is in Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Can you picture what it would have been like for Joseph to learn that his fiancée was pregnant? I mean, the immediate burden on your heart, feeling cheated, betrayed, insulted. He's a righteous man. And he thought he had a good thing going with this gal, and here she's pregnant. And the burden on this guy's heart became a wondering, what is going on? He really needed to know. He was wondering. The shepherds were working. Simeon was waiting. Anna was worshiping. The Magi were wandering. Mary was willing. And here's Joseph just wondering, wondering. I don't get it. What is going on in my life? I have trouble. I don't understand something. You're in a good spot if you're there. Because that's one of the hearts that God has shown he can speak to, and he wants to. As I enjoyed thinking about these things this week, one big question yet came to mind, and that is, why did God not reveal himself to the priests, to the scribes? And as I thought about that, I thought, he did. He did. They were the ones who told everybody else where this Messiah was going to be born, and they didn't even go and check it out. What? You see why God could not speak to them. They didn't care. They didn't care. And in fact, in John 7, the Pharisees one time were in a heated discussion, public heated discussion, and they said, go search the scriptures, you ignoramuses. Go search the scriptures and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. But if they had only gone to Bethlehem to check it out, they would have seen. That's why they went to Bethlehem to sign the register. It was very, very clear. 30 years later, they had forgotten totally about it. They didn't care. Because they had a different scenario already rolling in their mind, their glasses were colored in a certain way, and they could not see what was essential to see. They could not see mere Christmasanity. And we can become this way. I tell you this, the day you get saved is the day you begin thinking, well, I'm here. Now I'm here. Now, here. I have been saved this long. Look how mature I am. Did you know that Jesus warned his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? And the leaven of the Pharisees is to think, well, I ought to be exalted. I ought to be obeyed. I am of this. I've been saved this long. I've read the Bible this many times. And you will close your mind to God's ability to speak to you if you think because of those things that God ought to speak to you. He's not looking for your intellect in order to speak to you. His understanding is inscrutable anyway. What do you think you know? He has a lot. He wants to communicate to you. And mere Christmasanity is coming back to a heart that he can speak to. That he could reveal certain things about his son, his relevant things about his son to your life. And so that brings us to one more, and that is you. Your heart, my heart. And as I was thinking about this in Mark chapter 10, there was an experience that Jesus had with his disciples. One time, the crowds were bringing their little children to Jesus in order that he could take them in his lap and bless them. And the disciples were indignant about this. They said, "Come on, guys, get those kids out of here. You got important things to do, and you got the kids running around." And Jesus said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute here, guys. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And then he said it this way, "Unless you become converted and have a heart like a child, you won't enter at all." So any of us in this room who have trusted in Christ, we've been there. We've been of the heart of a child, and I'm just saying to you that mere Christmasanity is putting on a heart of a child again afresh. Here the disciples had walked with the Lord for a while, and so they thought, "We're on a roll here. We're getting things done. Get those kids out of here." And in our lives, those kids are things that distract us. They are busyness. They are things that we have responsibilities to do. They are our distractions. They are our mental preoccupations. God wants us to put them away and seek him freshly. And seek him, I think one of the songs we sang this morning was, it's the Rejoice song. And I think it was, we're going to approach our Maker with confidence, even though we really shouldn't be able to. You can't have gratitude apart from a right view of where you've come from and where you're headed. And so mere Christmasanity is about these things, about viewing yourself as a blue-collar worker. I'm nothing special. I'm just a kid that God chose. It's about waiting for what God is going to do. That's where I'm living. God is saving people. I'm there. God is building people. That's where I'm at. It's about worshiping. It's about wandering as a truth seeker, about being willing to do his will, whatever it is, whatever the consequences. And it is about, what was Joseph's? He was, he was wondering. It's about wondering, figuring it out. Philippians says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Just work it out. We don't know all the answers. That's part of the fun. God does. And he wants to show you as much as he wants to show you. You step into that, he wants to show you some more. John says that this is how we have fellowship with one another as we walk in the light. Mere Christmasanity is about having a heart, returning to a heart that God can speak to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are the King of hearts. You know how to humble a man who walks in pride. And you know how to build up the weary. There is no one like you. And we worship you freshly. I pray that our hearts in this Christmas season would be hearts that you can speak to again and again and again. In Jesus' name.